What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
Okay, this is going to come with, of course, an increase. And I was like, of course, the increase was, again, more money that I've ever had. But I was like, I am more than that. And so I got more money. It was a 15K raise.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good? Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are still talking all things wellness, and today I have my BFF. Her name is Angie Simpson, and I'm just so excited for us to get into our conversation. How are you, friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay.
If we're going to be real, I'm tired.
Okay, me too.
Overwhelmed. Yeah. We're just going to be real. No circles level.
Mm-hmm. With that being stated, we're going to have interviews. We have genuine conversations. So we're just going to go ahead and get straight to it. So you always start off with an icebreaker. Are you ready for yours?
I am.
Okay. If you could design your dream workplace culture from scratch, what are the three non-negotiable values it would be built on?
The values that it would be built on would be authenticity, compassion, and community.
That's cute. Why those three?
Authenticity. I mean, we all know how it feels when you go into a space, you know, before you started to be, you know, before you hopped into your entrepreneurship, you were at corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew what it was like to cold switch. Hi, good morning. How are you doing? That's unauthentic and it doesn't feel good. At the end of the day, you are exhausted. I want people to come into work being their authentic self, of course, up to a certain extent. But I feel that when you're being authentic, you can produce great work. With community. Community is all about a sense of belonging. And so I want for my team to feel like that they belong. So that's where community comes into play. And lastly, compassion. Treat everyone with compassion. That costs you nothing. You don't know what the next person is dealing with at home or what challenges that they have outside of the workplace. Leading with compassion can get you a long way.
That was really good. I love those three. All right, so let's go ahead and get into our genuine conversation. We always start off with who is the guest. So for you, who is Angie?
Angie is I am a mother of two beautiful kids. I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, and I'm a friend. Outside of that, personally, as a worker, I am, you know, this time you got to toot your own horn.
Toot it, girl.
I'm about to toot, too. I am, and someone brought this to me a couple of weeks ago. I am a creator and I'm an innovator. And what that looks like is I like to make people who I come across, I like to leave a lasting impact. So I will say that I'm impactful. I like to give people experiences. I like to put people on. And so in my professional life.
Indeed you do. Who put you on? You remind us every doggone time.
I like to put people on new experiences and new opportunities and just kind of open their eyes to, it doesn't always have to be done this way. You can do it this way and still get the same results. So that's who I am. And that short saying.
I love that for you. You remember back in the day you wanted to do voiceovers?
I sure do.
My friend is full of amazing things. I just love her so much. Like, the creativity is absolutely there. So with that being stated, I've seen us go through high school, going through our college days, now, you know, full-grown relationships. Now you're married, you have kids, you have all of the things, right? So I've seen the different things that you've gone through in life, right? So one in particular that I want to talk about today is, even though you did not finish college, you went into the workforce early on, and like now you're dominating, like you're doing it. At one point, like, you left one company and they was like, hey, you got to come back, you know, and mm-hmm. then they ended up adding a little bit extra as a coin or two, you know. So I want to talk about that, because I feel like a lot of times when we are positioned, you got to go to school, you got to do this, 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 and that. That was not your story, pretty much, in a sense of you pivoted to where you got to today. So let's kind of talk about your career and the journey that came with your career.
Yeah. College was fun. Not too much fun. I didn't know how to balance partying and going to class and stuff like that. And so when my mom saw my grades and saw that I was on academic probation, I can say that now without feeling shame.
Yeah. It's called growth.
My mom was like, okay. My mom was like, yeah, I'm going to pull you out, because for one, you're not going to waste any more of my money. And I was like, okay. And I'm going to have you to work with me. And so that was really my introduction into a career and my introduction into the medical field. So I worked with her. She definitely helped me along the way. But after that, I moved to California, which was, I'm going to be real, it was really scary. I mean, because I depended on my family, on my mom, for a lot. And I didn't have my family there. It was just me and my husband. And so I got hired on working at a behavioral health facility, working with patients who had eating disorders. That was a lot. I mean, it really humbled me, and it really opened my eyes into, you know, there's people out here really struggling. And I was the one to hold that safe space, to let them know, like, yes, it's hard now, but it will get easier as time goes. So I was in that role of facility manager for 2 years. But when it comes to, like, growth, I was great at my job, but I hit the ceiling. And I was like, there was no growth at that time. I can't do this work for too much longer, because it does have an impact on your own mental health, because of all the things that you're seeing with them, you're having to navigate and check in your emotions at the door, right? And so I applied for an HR position, and I was able to transition from facility world to now corporate world of being in HR. There was a lot of growth there. I started off as an HR specialist, so I was helping employees on board into the company and navigating that process. But while being in that role, it was very eye-opening. Observing different things. The list goes on. Seeing offer letters and what those offer letters entailed. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. I just had my son, and they were asking, like, we were doing a hybrid schedule of, like, working from home. And then they wanted all of us to go back into the office. I just couldn't do it because of my son. And so, you know, I got another job, and I left the job that I was at, thinking that the grass was green on the other side. Huh. It was not green on the other side. It was actually, I was like, okay, I appreciated what I had at my other company. But I was like, you know, I had too much pride. I had too much ego to kind of go back to them and say, hey, can you take me back? But my manager, who is today, she reached out to me. She was like, hey, Angie, how are things going? And I'm like, is this not a sign from God?
Right, like, on time.
You know, I played it off. I was like, oh, you know, things are going okay. But, you know, they can be a little bit better. And she was like, okay, let's have a conversation. Long story short, I am now back at the company that I left, different position, a lot more money. Right. And I just, you know, I'm still in that role today. I've been in that role for 3 or 4 years now, but I have learned how to advocate for myself and to speak to what my skills bring to a company.
So with that being stated, for one, what does it mean to advocate for yourself? And in that situation, how did you exactly advocate for yourself? Because like you said, not only did they offer you your position back, but also more money. So what did that conversation look like?
So that same boss that reached out to me, my initial interview with her when I was an HR specialist, she said, and it will always stick with me, there is always room for negotiation. Always. And so that has really stuck with me. And so when it was her who reached out to me asking me, hey, we want you, can you come back? In my mind, I'm like, okay, like y'all want me. This is the price that y'all are offering. Yes, it's more money than I ever had, but also let me see if I can get a little bit more out. You know, let me see if I can get more money. And so that's what I just asked her. I said, is there room for negotiation? She looked at me like, yes. I said, okay. Can I get X, Y, Z? She was like, yeah, I think that's in the budget. Meaning, yeah, girl, that's in the budget.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's how I advocated for myself. And I know that that conversation of self-advocacy, it could be scary.
Uh-huh.
But what type of conversation is not scary? You know, you need to have that conversation. If you don't get it, just like when my mom always said, my parents are closed mouth, just not get fed. You have got to just muster up the courage and just ask them that question. The worst thing that they can say is no.
Uh-huh. So was that your first time ever negotiating your salary or even bringing that up?
Yeah. Yep.
Very nice. Yep. And the very first time, mm-hmm. It went away.
It did. It did. And so with that, I'm like,
it's only up from here.
And so recently, I have taken on the additional responsibility now that I'm a regional HR business partner.
Mm-hmm.
Since January of this year, I have become chairperson of what we call BEING, which is Black Excellence in Navigating Growth. That is one of our ERGs. And you're probably like, what is all these acronyms? ERG is Employee Resource Groups, which mm-hmm. is super beneficial to a corporation because we all know a corporation, it could look a certain way.
Sure.
And so when you have ERGs, Employee Resource Groups, it brings people from diverse backgrounds together. Mm-hmm. That way that you can like hone in on what's going on, you know, in the real world. How can we still work for this company, but still feel a sense of thyself? And so me being the chairperson of BEING, I grew that, like I grew the members. I changed the name. I'm doing book clubs. I'm doing mentorship programs. And so from that, with just my group, AKA community, I advocated. I was like, you know what? I think I can do this for all of the other 7 ERGs that we have. I wrote a proposal. I wrote down my 6-month strategic plan of what that looks like if I was given that additional responsibility.
Uh-huh.
And I got it.
Indeed.
You got it. And they were like, okay, you know, with this, this is going to come with, you know, of course, an increase.
Right.
And I was like, you know, of course, the increase was, again, more money than I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm more than
that. Yeah.
Like, I am more than that. And so I got more money.
Okay. So.
To be exact, it was a 15K raise.
I didn't know if you was going to put it out there. That is a huge difference. The same like, you know, back in the day, little performance raise, 25%. I mean, 25 cent, 50 cent raise, $1.15.
Yeah.
That's a $15,000 bump. So yeah. This is a testimony, and I didn't want to put your business out there, but I just want to say, like, this is a testimony when it comes to, when it means like putting yourself first. And when it comes to wellness, you know, a lot of times we got to check ourselves. If that's mental, if that's physical, if that's holistically head to toe, whatever the case that, you know, whatever that may mean, if you don't advocate for yourself, if you don't put yourself first, you never know what doors will open. And one door is $15,000.
Okay.
It's crazy. Okay, so I want to take it back. So when you was first offered this position for the ERG, the business partner, I want to know throughout the years, because you've been in workforce for years at this point, right? What did you use as far as your own experience in the workforce that you wanted to bring to now this new group that you're supporting? Because at the end of the day, you are a Black woman. So, you know, your experience is not the same like somebody else, you know? So as far as your own experience, and thank you for sharing what, because, you know, that's the main bulk of what we're going to talk about today. So how did you use your own experience and what you've gone through to say, this is how I can teach them? Like, they need to advocate for themselves. They need to pretty much put themselves first. You need to speak up when you need to, but at the end of the day, we got to watch our delivery. You mentioned book clubs. You mentioned there was all different things and elements. How did you strategically prepare yourself for this type of opportunity?
That is a really good question. So with the knowledge of like having HR being my background and, you know, equity and treating people fairly and, you know, process and like, you have to be very strategic when you are in HR. And adding on that additional layer of now being the chair of Black Excellence and Navigating Growth, which was before Black Employee Support Network. We are way more than that. We are excellence and we are navigating and growth. So there was a whole thing with the name change, but I just know that in the Black community, we have a really hard time of bringing someone, you know, bringing other people up. You know, like you are at a certain point, like you are at a point where someone wants to get. And it's like, hey, Angie, how's your group there? Now you won't have to figure that out. I'm not telling you all my secrets. You know, I'm the only one up here. It's like a closed mouth. And that information is very hard to get. I didn't want to be that way because I know what that feels like. And so, again, I'm all about impacting people. I'm all about putting people on. And so that was my thing. I started reading a lot of books. Recently, my father passed away. And for me to have a distraction from that, I start embedding myself in reading a whole bunch of books, a whole bunch of like how to navigate the workforce, being a Black woman. What does that look like? And so, you know, coming across these books, I was like, ooh, okay. Like it had put a lot of tools in my toolbox. And again, I want to put people on. And so being in my ERG group, I had to increase the engagement because it was only two people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is bad. So I got the engagement increase. And I'm like, okay, how can I have people to continue to come to these meetings? It got to be fun. Nobody wants to join something that's boring or that's not meaningful. You know, who wants to be in a group just twiddling their thumbs? That's not fun. And so I was like, okay, let me be creative. Let me do trivia. You know, if you win the trivia, you win a prize. Who doesn't want a prize, you know, from work? And I put it out there. Who wants to do a book club? A whole bunch of people put a book. I'm like, okay, cool. I can incorporate the books that I've been reading. The first book was We Sit Over There by Francine Parham. Read it. It's such a good book. It is such a good book. But that was our first book that we did for our book club. It really put people on as far as like how to navigate the corporate world. And then after that, I was like, okay, like we had such good momentum going after that book club. I said, let's do a mentorship. I brought up the mentorship to a couple of people and they were like, oh, we've tried that before. That's not going to work. And I was like, okay, we'll see. I put it out there to my ERG group, to my ERG community. 14 people signed up. 10 mentees, 4 mentors. And it was a 4-week program and it was successful.
Did you create the curriculum and everything or everybody kind of just?
No, I created the curriculum. I gave the mentors an agenda guide.
Come on, agenda guide.
What does week one look like? What challenges are we going to give them? What assignments are we going to give them? And I did that for the consecutive 4 weeks because, again, if I am going to be a part of something, it's going to be meaningful. I'm not just going to say, oh, we're going to do a mentorship and like, okay, like we figure it out. No, I'm going to figure it out because, again, I want people to talk about it to their friends.
Absolutely.
And so with me creating that agenda, the feedback that I got from the mentors is like, wow, like I've been a part of a mentorship before, but I've never been given an agenda. It's like a you figure it out kind of thing and report back to me. I didn't want that. And so it's been nothing but great, a lot of hard work, but great.
So I want to know, because when I hear HR, I'm thinking business partner for the corporation, but you're yes. finding a silver lining on supporting not only management, the corporation, but also the employees.
Yes.
How are you finding that and still making sure that you meet the role over here to support the business, but also showing the employees that you do have an advocate for you as well?
So when I was working in the facility, I was not a part of HR. I knew that we had an HR, but HR has a really bad stigma.
Absolutely.
And it's HR is only going to listen to the manager. They don't care what the employees say. HR is AKA the police. I dealt with a lot of situations at the facility when it comes to microaggressions. The program director told me I was very new. And so I was like, hey, what holidays do y'all celebrate? You know, I would like to know. And she looked at me, she said, oh, we should be celebrating Martin Luther King Day, right?
Not that you know you in the wrong. I know you gave her that face.
I did. And because I always have to be mindful of where I'm at, mm-hmm. I have to have that clutch between my mouth and my brain, right? Because I always want to be triple C's, cool, calm, and collected. And so I really had to gather myself, but it was just more than that. That I experienced at that facility. And there will be times where people from corporate, they will come to the facility.
Right.
But they go straight to the manager's office. And it's like, dang, I got so much to tell you. This lady is not it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please come talk to me. And so I always kept that in the back of my mind. Now that I'm in HR, of course, I'm going to, you know, talk to leadership. I'm going to talk to the manager at that facility. But I also want to know how are the employees doing? Because, yes, mm-hmm. I'm still an employee, but I just know what it's like at a facility level when things aren't good. Because managers, they're going to blow smoke right up your cheeks. And when you talk to the employees, they are going to give you the real of what's going on.
Right.
And so I leave from bad experience.
That is really good. Really, really good. Okay. So I do want you to share an experience with us from not an altercation, but just a disagreement, right? Mm-hmm. You came in, you helped both sides and found a solution for everyone to just move forward. Everybody feels supported, something of that nature. It can be that type of case study. Or another case study can mm-hmm. be from the actual group to where you are now creating engagement. People are having a good time. You start off with 2. Now you have 15 and everybody is wanting more. Give us a case study that you can share with us from how you're really supporting and impacting the people at your job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can give you, I can talk about both. So the first thing is being in HR. I mean, I deal with employee relations issues on a daily, like that is my jam, right? And so when a manager or an employee comes to me, the manager is telling me, hey, Angie, you know, I got two employees. They have differences. For an example, recently, a new supervisor, so this is a performance reviews. So a new supervisor, she provided a review, lack thereof a review, and she did not consult with that employee as far as like, hey, this is your review. I finished it up. Let's talk about it together. The employee knew that her review was done by a notification via email. This manager rated that employee extremely low. The employee is now upset, rightfully so, right? And so I went to the facility because I was like, you know what? Since I'm local and the facility is not too far, I want to go in person to have these conversations. I already have a good rapport with these individuals. So I know that when I talk to them, there won't be any hard feelings. And I want them to understand the magnitude, AKA the supervisor, the magnitude of your doings. And so what that conversation looked like was, supervisor, hey, so-and-so, you know, help me, walk me through what occurred with this review. What happened? That way that you hear from the supervisor's perspective what occurred. Okay. Did you think to check in with your employee after you submitted your review? No, because, you know, this was my training. Okay. Now I, HR, have a better understanding of why you did your action the way that you did it. And so in that time, I corrected what needed to be done as far as like moving forward. After you complete your review, you need to review that with the employee. Put yourself in the employee's shoes. You are an employee. You have a manager that you report to. So let's say that you complete your review, your self-review, and now you're waiting on pins and needles for your manager to complete your review, because who doesn't want to know how you're doing at your job? You know, you want to hear that feedback from your manager. But instead of that manager sitting down with you and talking through your review, you just hit approve and go on to the next one. That doesn't feel genuine. That doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So just kind of keep those things in mind. So I spoke to the supervisor and I let her know, are you willing and are you open to having a conversation with the employee with me being present? I'll be the mediator in having that conversation, making sure that it goes to you. She was like, yeah, cool. Talk to the employee. Of course, the employee feels she is disgruntled. I'm like, hey, employee. You know why I'm here? She was like, yeah. I said, so let's talk about it. She said, well, I really don't want to talk about it. I said, so how are we going to get to a resolution if you don't want to talk about it? I'm here to talk about this. And she was like, okay. So she talked about how she felt. She felt slighted. She's doing all of these extra things that wasn't documented in the review. And HR, you would think, you know, sometimes I have my HR hat on and sometimes I just got to put that HR hat to the side and just be real. Mm-hmm. And so in that conversation, I put the hat to the side and I was real. I said, you know what? You're right. I would be upset too. I was like, but also we have to give your manager grace. She's new. She's learning. She's still green. And I said, I am here to correct this. What we have done, we have opened up your review. And I would like for the three of us to come together and we go through the review together. But I want you to share how you feel with your manager and your manager will do vice versa. That way that we have a better understanding. We put everything on the table and how can we resolve this moving forward? That is what that conversation is going to look like. She was like, okay, I'll be open to that. Perfect. I get them together. I set the tone for the conversation because sometimes it can get a little heated.
Yeah.
And what that looked like is, you know, we all know that we're here. We're here to talk about your performance review. I was made aware that your performance review was not shared with you, which I am in agreement. That was wrong. And so we're here together to go through that together. I said, who would like to start? Because I want both of your differences to be aired out. That way that we have an understanding and then we can move forward. Who wants to start? Supervisor, she starts. She says her apologies, which I was very happy about because I was very fearful that she would not apologize, but she did. And then the employee, she shared her, you know, her differences. We went through her review together. She has a higher review now. We've also added in all the things that she has done within that quarter. And that employee and that manager are now cordial and they can work amicably.
Yes. So a goal was accomplished. I love that. Okay. So let's talk about your group.
Yes. Being that we started with only two people, I'm like, ooh, this is bad.
Tough.
Both tough. And I was like, okay, I am the face of this. Again, I know what I want this to look like. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be real. I have to do a lot of research. I didn't know what a chairperson was. I'm like, ooh, it sounds good. But what does this entail? So I did a lot of research and I'm coming to find out that a chairperson, it's a leader of a group. And I was like, okay, I know that I can lead people. But I got to create a buzz. There was no buzz going on with the ERGs, period. And so being that it was in January, I sent out my Martin Luther King newsletter to the entire company. Following Martin Luther King, February, right there. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Black history.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the ways that I wanted to entice people to join being, I put out there, who wants an employee spotlight? And the employee spotlight, three questions that they needed to answer. Like, what does it mean to be Black, to be a Black professional? What does Black History Month mean to you? And how do you celebrate? Those three questions, I received 15 responses. 10 of those people joined being. And so I was like, okay, you know, creating a buzz, making it enticing, making it fun. And I was like, okay, now that I did these employee spotlights for the month of February, my meeting for February needs to be a hit, right?
Absolutely.
Because this is my opportunity to get their attention.
Retain them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so in the month of February, if you recall, there was a lot. Trump just got into the office.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you think about it. Trump just got to the office, and with him just getting into the office, now it's this whole talk about DEI rollback. A whole thing. And I was like, ooh, I'm HR. How do I talk about this question? Or, you know, how do I talk about this? But still, there was a lot of things that I had to play with in my mind. But I was like, who would I be if I don't have this conversation about DEI rollback? Even though DEI rollback is not just about the minority community, it's also about, you know, when you go to the airport or the airplane, are they going to have changing tables? You know, that's DEI too. People, a lot of people don't know that. But anyway, I digress. I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to see how this goes. In January, there was two people. In February, there was 10 people. And before the meeting, I sent out an agenda because, again, I want people to know what we're going to talk about. You know, I just don't want to be in the group.
I forgot to ask you, is this all employees or a mixture of management and employees or just management?
All employees. That includes directors, employees, any and everybody can join this.
Very nice. Okay.
Yes. And so the topic of February's meeting was, let's talk about DEI rollback. This is tough, but also, how are we able to protect our peace? What does that look like? Because, I mean, for me, you know, I gave an example, like I was looking on social media. I was stressed. Okay. Yeah. Thinking about my kids, what their future's going to look like. Like I literally went down a spiral rabbit hole. And I was like, you know what? Turn that phone off. Turn that TV off. I'm protecting my peace. Mm-hmm. I am protecting what I can control. What's happening on the outside world, I have no control over. And so by me sharing that, then others started to share how they protected their peace. They even went back to 2020 and all of that craziness of,
absolutely,
you know, the BLM, Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
George Floyd.
So, mm-hmm. Yes. And so by me knowing that this topic is heavy, I don't want them to leave the group feeling, you know, like, dang, you know, this is really going on in the world. So I strategically was like, you know what? We're going to talk about this because it needs to be talked about. But also, let's end it with some fun. Let's end it with the trivia. And so we did that. We did a Black History Month trivia and a person won a prize. That is what got the people leaving.
Because I can strategically see the spotlight for sure. Because as you mentioned, people always want to be known for something, or they want to be, you know, spotlighted in a sense.
Yes.
So I definitely see that part. And then, of course, everybody wants a gift. So win or lose, I want my name in the pot.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Very, very smart. Okay, friend. Yes. So with that being said, before we go to our next segment, when it comes to being, what is one thing every time you guys get together that you want to make sure happens? If it's impact, if it's resilience, if it's education, so they'll know as a Black person, it's okay for you to say these things, right?
Yes.
But you got to make sure you say it properly. So the education piece. What is one thing after every meeting you want to make sure you get covered? And of course, make sure that it's being received by the groups, the group members.
Yeah. I've learned that I have created a space. I have cultivated a space where members feel safe enough to share whatever is on their mind. We talked, May was mental health awareness. We talked about mental health and what that looks like in the Black community. Members were sharing about what their family members are going through, schizophrenia, and like how they see their family members and how that has changed now that they are in this space. So basically, I'm saying all of that to say, each and every time, yes, you know, there's going to be education, there's going to be connection, but I guess that one thing is safety. Because oftentimes, in the corporate sector, being Black, we're having to armor up. We have to continue to have that armor. And so when they enter in this space of the Being ERG meeting that we have monthly, I want all of that to come down and for them to be themselves.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so our next segment are our highs and lows, peaks and valleys. You know I got that from you.
Okay. What's the pigs?
Yes. I got that from you. Okay. I legit, when I first created this podcast, that was, where were we? And you were like at the table, let's talk about the
your peak and your peak.
Yes. And everybody went around the table in vacation discussing that.
Yes. So maybe it was at Nina or New Orleans.
It had to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
One of those. Okay.
New Orleans.
Okay. So with that being stated, I would like for you to discuss any time throughout your life. We're going to talk about your low right now. So anything that question, like, am I supposed to be on this career path? Am I supposed to be doing something else? Am I supposed to be going to college? Whatever that's supposed to be. And then how did you pivot to get to where you are today? Because, of course, you're soaring. You're doing all the things.
You know, I've actually really changed my paradigm of thinking when it comes to that. And what I mean by that is that I look at each and every opportunity that I feel that it's a pit as a learning experience and just adding more tools in my toolbox. But I would probably have to say when I took that job outside of the company that I'm at now, when I took on that role, I mean, it was beautiful. Like, again, at that time, I made more money than I did at my previous job. The facility in itself was just grand. But the structure was just chaotic. I'm like, wow, does it take 15 million steps to do one thing? Like, I didn't understand it. And then my manager at that facility, I came to her with a question and she questioned me. I'm like, girl, how am I supposed to learn from you if you are giving me the question right back?
Right.
So that was eye-opening for me. And I was like, okay, you know, not that the grasser is not, you know, the grass is green on the other side, but it was just very eye-opening. I was like, okay, you know, I need structure. Yeah. I need, you know, like I need processes and stuff in place, and they just didn't have it. But also, I'm very grateful that I took that position, because I would not be here.
Right.
Without.
Absolutely. That was a seed planted.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. So on the other side of the spectrum, what, I mean, you've already shared that $15,000 high, but if you have another thing that you would like us to celebrate with you regarding anything that may have happened and you are here today and you are excited about that situation.
I guess I would just talk about what's like recently going on is, so I have feels about this, but so like I stated earlier, with me advocating to be the program lead of all of the EIGs, like I'm very proud of that, because I'm like sticking my neck out for this. And like, they look at, they said, you know what, I see all the things that you're doing. And when I say, like, it was just divine timing with all of this, like the mentorship program just ended. So now I have collected all of that data that I can give to my manager and the VP of HR. And it just so happened that after I sent out that proposal email to my manager, I had a random check-in with the VP of HR. And so he was like, oh, Angela, you know, how are things going? And I was like, things are going good. He was like, so this is your opportunity to talk about whatever you want to talk about. My mind, ding!
Okay. Advantage. Take full advantage.
Okay. Like, everything was so fresh on my mind, and I just let him know all the things that I've been doing. And before, I don't think I would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have kept all of my like accomplishments and stuff to myself, because that could also be seen as, oh, she's bragging, or yeah, she's being boastful, when that's not the case at all. Like, I'm virtual. You don't see me in office. I want you to know all of the work that I'm doing, but in a way to where it doesn't come across as I'm bragging,
mm-hmm,
but more so of, hey, I'm advocating for myself. This is what I've done. And this is, I know I can do more.
Mm-hmm. And the job is getting done.
It is getting done. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so by them giving me that green light, I'm like, okay. And they wanted the name to be changed, which I have feels about, from DEI, because of all of the things that are going on in the world. They want that name to be changed. And they gave it to me. They were like, okay, I'm going to put it on you. What is that name going to be? And I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
What about DBH communities? And they were like, you know, and I told them the reason why I chose that. And they were like, I love it. And I was like, okay.
Tell us why. Come on. Come on.
Okay, so I chose the name DBH communities. DBH is Discovery Behavioral Health. That's the organization name. But communities, again, going back to being, I don't look at being Black Excellence Navigating Growth. I don't look at that as a group. I look at that as a community. Again, it's a sense of belonging. You feel safe. You know, your voice will be heard. And so with all of these ERGs, the umbrella name could be DBH communities. We have veterans. We have LGBTQ+. We have women empowered. These are all many communities. And so why not name it DBH communities? And they were like, you got it. And I was like, all
right. I know, that's right. Check another one.
Oh, and I revamped the SharePoint page, like the website.
You was telling me about that. Congratulations, man.
Today, thank you. Today, I sent them an email of like, all right, 30 days. I'm in, you know, 30 days of me being in this additional role.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what I've done.
And that's good, because you volunteered, mm-hmm, that check-in, not them having to come to you.
I did. But honestly, I'm going to have to chunk it up to the books that I've been reading.
Mm-hmm.
It has really put me on. Talk about put me on game. the books that I've been reading has really been putting me on game.
I love that for you. I mean, education, knowledge.
Okay.
Seriously, that's a big thing. Okay. What's one free advice? I feel like a lot of times people are paying thousands and thousands of dollars to either go to retreats, they're going to webinars, right, seminars, coaches, all these different things. And sometimes it goes over our heads, like, what did I just sit here and learn? Because it's not here with me anymore. So if you have one free advice, what would it be? Actionable steps that somebody that can take today that's listening.
That somebody can take where?
They can take with them today, now that they're listening, and actually take action and go with it. One free advice.
One free advice is to learn how to advocate for yourself. Uh-huh. And advocating for yourself can look like so many different things. Advocating for yourself at work. Again, mustering up that courage to tell your manager, hey, this is what happened to me at work. This needs to change by XYZ. Or, hey, I have contributed so much to this company, I would like a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Here is why. Or going to the doctor. Hey, doctor, I'm not feeling well, but you're writing me off as if it's just a common cold. Oh, I think this is better. Can you look more into this? You know, once you learn how to advocate for thyself, it's going to be so beneficial for you in so many different ways.
I love that. I love that. Okay. To keep up with all things Angie, let the people know how they can follow you and stay up to date.
You all can follow me on LinkedIn. What is that actual LinkedIn information? I don't know.
Just look up her first and last name.
HTTP. I don't know. You can find me on LinkedIn.
With that being stated, we will make sure the link is in the show notes so you guys can click, go, and follow.
Yes. The LinkedIn is the way.
Okay. So this is our last thing and we wrap up.
Okay.
So we usually do a motivational moment, and the motivational moment could be a quote, a verse, whatever the case may be, something that sparked my eye. I share it on here. We share our thoughts, and it's a wrap. So yours is a Bible scripture. I'll say it. We'll share our thoughts, and it'll be done. So
okay.
Bible verse is, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. I'm going to say it again. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And that's Proverbs 31:8. So when I'm reading this, I actually think about you and how you're providing a safe space for people to come to you. And even as far as friendship wise, that you've always created a safe space. And it's always been, and you know, how are you? Like, no girl, how are you? You know?
Yeah.
And I can see you also doing that in the workspace as well. And when it comes for people who feel like they're not comfortable with going to their manager or not comfortable with going to their director, whatever the case may be, you provide a space where you can actually speak for them. Like, hey, your employee gave me this issue and I want to come to you directly to see how we can provide a solution. And I love how, you know, a lot of times people don't want to be the middleman, but I think with you being the middlewoman, you give an opportunity for voices to still be heard. Cause in corporations, it's not easy. I mean, when I quit my job, I didn't go to the people, the upper management. I went straight to HR. Here goes my piece of paper, my resignation letter, and I'm out. Because at this point, I didn't feel like I need to talk to anybody else. And HR was going to deliver that message, you know? And she legit sat there and spoke to me. I was like, what's the issue? Let's really talk about it. And let's see if we can come to an understanding. I was like, well, we don't need an understanding because I'm still going to give you this. But thank you for allowing me to vent. And so I see that for you as well. And she was a Black woman. So I totally appreciate her trying to, you know, peel the onion and see if she can find a resolution for me. But in my particular situation, that's not what I wanted. But I see for you, people that want a resolution, they come to you and you provide different ways on how to execute what that solution is going to look like. And so as this conversation has unfolded, and we've always talked about the things that you're doing, so it wasn't a surprise, but what really caught my eye is that you're really strategic in creating this impact for the groups. So I'm really proud of you, and I'm really glad to call you my best friend. So with all that being stated, what do you think about the Bible verse? Let me know if you need me to repeat it.
I think I got it. And I mean, honestly, you really hit the nail on the head. Honestly, like speaking out loud, just like answering your questions. And that one question in particular, you were like, you know, what is that one thing that you want people to leave with when they end in the ERG group? Safety. Uh-huh. You know, like I want them to feel safe. And I have cultivated a space to where if you don't have a voice, I got you. Just talk to me about it. Let's talk through that. That way that I know how to approach this certain individual, you know, for you. But like, I do have your best interest in heart. So that is what that Bible verse gives.
Awesomeness. All right. Did you have any last words? Or did we cover everything?
Covered everything. And I just want to say that I'm just so appreciative of you for giving people a space to talk about, whether it's wellness or whether it's talk about entrepreneurship or just for people's voices. Also, you letting people's voices to get heard and for them to tell it. So I just appreciate you in holding this space for me and for others.
Absolutely. When you sent me that direct message after that email I sent out to the world, if wellness is an option and that's the one that's chosen, I'm your girl.
Yes.
So I am so happy we were able to do this. Maybe we started this call, we was both drained, and look at us now.
For real. Yes. I feel and okay, I have to say this. Mm-hmm. So also at work, I do a professional development training for managers called Dare to Lead. It's based off a book of Brené Brown. Those who are in the therapist world know who she is. Mm-hmm. Brené Brown, she's really big on just showing people the way. And so in the training today, there was a question that stated, when you're living into your values, like what's one of your values? And so one of my values is connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I love connecting with people. And so when you said, you know, in the beginning of this call, we were both drained. And now at the end of this call, honestly, I feel energized. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, well, this,
that
but also, like, you know, because like I'm connecting. And so that really fills my cup and it gives me purpose. So
I love that. Well, that's my testimony. That's what happens when you come on What's Good Podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously.
I appreciate that. Well, if you guys are listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for listening to What's Good Podcast, and we will see you guys next time. Deuces.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.